I think people are realizing that there, it's just a different skill set. Where I work at, we have every trade, just about. We have welders, we have plumbers, we have electricians. I don't want to leave anybody out, but we've got everybody. And to work with these people on a daily basis and see how they troubleshoot and how smart they are coming up with ways to fix, repair, and make adjustments. And it's really awesome to see what it takes to be able to do the job.
We are developing students for the industry, career technical education, so that they become our replacements.
These young people have chosen this opportunity to get a jump start on their career.
They'll have a better idea about what they want to do and what they're good at by the time they leave high school.
There's some great opportunities for these students that are coming out of the career and technical programs from Henrico County.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another edition of Henrico CTE Now. I'm Rashawn Garnett, and with me I have
Mike Roberts.
And we are back playing another home game, Mike, and it hasn't been that long. I feel like we've been utilizing the CTE conference room more so this season than we have in other seasons.
This is the first time in a while. The first season was a lot, but it definitely was kind of coming back home.
And it's not a bad thing.
No.
But I certainly do prefer when we get a chance to get out of the office and then go bother somebody else in somebody else's space.
It's usually cooler there than it is. As soon as we close the door, it's sweatbox.
Yeah. That is true as well. So maybe we need to add fans, maybe some silent fans in here as well. Today we have another guest for you to listen to and learn from. But first, I have to remind you to check us out on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube, all at the handle Henrico CTE, HenricoCTE.com, where you can find more information on all the programs we offer your student. Also, registration for Summer Building Trades is open. Just visit HenricoCTE.com/SBT/, considerably shorter length than last year.
Yeah.
Just go visit that again. That's HenricoCTE.com/SBT/, and your student will have an opportunity to sign up to try out one of our many trades that we offer here: electricity, masonry, carpentry, heating and air, and cabling and networking. And that will be from June 12th to July 20th, Monday through Thursday, 7:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. No classes on June 19th or July 4th.
And there's another mystery day. There's apparently another special election. And we will let you know later.
Yeah, we will let you know later. We'll constantly evolving information here. But visit HenricoCTE.com for all information on all summer programs. Summer Polytech coming up pretty soon.
Yep.
We'll have registration for that in April sometime. And, of course, we'll repeat that here. But, Mike, tell them where else they can find the podcast.
You can find the podcast at all of your major podcast apps and most of your minor ones. We are Anchor was bought by Spotify some time ago, and now they've totally dropped Anchor and is now just Spotify Podcast.
Man, so, that quickly.
Yes. It's been over a year since they bought it. So we're now over 9,000 listeners, and we are up to 34 countries, with the newest one being Luxembourg. So all of our Luxembourg fans out there of one, thank you for listening.
Shout out to our fan in Luxembourg, and really anybody who listens to our podcast and has learned or benefited from the information that we share here. But I mentioned we have somebody for you guys to listen to and learn from, and so you don't have to listen to us talk all day. I think that would be good programming, though, me personally.
We like listening to each other talk.
Yeah, there we
over
go.
Top of each other.
Over top of each other, yes, as always. But today we are speaking with Maintenance Control Supervisor at Henrico County Public Schools, Mr. Jeff Groh. Thank you so much for joining us here in the CTE conference room, but also on Henrico CTE Now.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
We heard that you have some CTE experience. Let's get a little bit of your background, man. How did you come up? How did you come across career technical education?
Well, I went to Chesterfield County Schools. I'm not a product of Henrico, unfortunately.
Same here.
Chesterfield County Schools. And I got involved in the Tech Center program because I realized kind of very early on in my high school career that the academic courses were not for me. It was just not something that really sparked a lot of interest. So I got involved in photography in my middle years of high school and started taking pictures for the yearbook and things like that. So I was able to join the photography class at the Tech Center and quickly realized it was something that I loved. And the progression that I went through for 2 years with the photography classes at the Technical Center afforded me the ability to get out into the field and do some real world work in that field, and it just kind of grew from there.
That's awesome. So you still do anything with photography now, or you just using that phone? Or
I did photography after I got out of high school for 15 years. I had a career working in a darkroom at Richmond Camera, downtown Richmond.
Wow. Yeah. Sounds like fun, I'm not going to lie. Working
literally
in
back in the day when we still had film and we actually processed the film. And I got into photographic restoration. I was there for the changeover from film to digital and got into Photoshop, because when I first got into my full-time job at Richmond Camera, we did photographic restoration by hand.
Wow.
So I worked hand in hand with an artist. So I would go into the darkroom, make the print, bring it out. Then she would touch it up hand with her hands and airbrushes and things like that. And then I would manipulate it in the darkroom and reprint it again in a different version. That was the progression. It was almost like layer after layer, like people that use Photoshop, you do layers.
Yeah.
So that was what I did. Something that was super exciting for me, or very interesting, is that part of one of our biggest customers were the museums in the Richmond area. And I was working in downtown Richmond, and so I would receive all of these old images from the 1800s and glass negatives and things like that that they would send to us because we were custom work. And you would see things. I could look down Broad Street and see an image from the 1800s that I could see at what it looked like in that day.
That really gives you some perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, that really. So there were so many different things that being in a commercial lab in the photography industry, that we would get images from Naval Surface Weapons Research Center when they were doing research on Tomahawk missiles and high-speed photography. And I would get negatives that would come in from back in the day when you'd go into the bank. They had cameras, surveillance cameras, and they would only record if there was an incident. So the teller would push a button underneath of the, and the camera would come on and it would take black and white film images of the bank robber. And so then they would rush them to me, and I'd go in the dark room, and the FBI guy would stand outside. And,
oh, wow.
Because they had to have a trail of evidence. And,
right.
But so there was a huge array of different things that I got exposed with photography that kept me in it for 15 years.
15 years of photography all started by Career Technical Education Program, and we'd like to link that back. So what skills did you learn in photography that I guess kind of translated to where you're at right now?
There were a lot of things. Again, I think when I was in the photography program, we had the ability to drive ourselves to the tech center each day. We didn't have to ride the bus if we didn't want to. And a lot of times, because we would leave from there and then go to a job that they would assign for us. So the first kind of basic building blocks was it taught me how to, number one, get in my car, drive, be on time, get to a location, and begin the real adult world of being responsible. So that was really sort of the base for it. And then it taught me the skills that I had to find that it gave me a trade, and it gave me something that I could grab a hold to and use in the real world, because I found that I liked shooting sports and I would get side jobs to go down and shoot the University of Richmond football game. So
nice.
I'd get paid to go do something really cool on the weekend that I liked. That progressed into, I started my own little side company where I was shooting youth sports, where the kids with the soccer ball and the mom, the team pictures and all that
and
kind of stuff.
And the t-ball with the baseball bat and all that cool stuff.
So yeah, that went there. And then I met a marketing agent, and he liked my work, and I got on shooting NASCAR back in the heyday. So I would go down and be on the pit road while the races were going on.
So when you shoot NASCAR, do you just keep your finger on the shutter button? Is that kind of
the crazy thing is, back in the day, we were still, when I was doing this part, we were still shooting film.
Oh,
and
yeah, right.
It was right at the beginning of autofocus cameras. That's how old I am. But you had to do everything. You know,
my
you had
goodness.
To take a meter reading.
Living
had,
in manual mode.
Yeah. And then, which was hard enough to shoot cars that are going 100 miles an hour, then they changed to nighttime.
Yeah.
And then you had to shoot in the dark, which
low
was
light,
like
yeah.
really, really hard to do. So, but yeah, the tech center taught me a lot of things, taught me how to work with others. I was able to enter my photographs in some competitions that, as you guys know, in CTE, you have different competitions and things like that to help the kids show their craft. And I was able to win some awards and go out to Arizona, and they took me around the Grand Canyon. But I showed up for the first event in the National Photographic Competition, and my photograph didn't have everything that was supposed to have. So right out of the gate, I knew I wasn't going to cross the finish line in first. So that taught me another lesson that, you know, here's a big grand event. I wasn't 100% prepared for it.
Yeah.
But it didn't knock me down. I finished all the way through and got good critique from the judges and stuff. So again, life experience is what it taught me in a lot of different ways in the real world is what I call it.
Yeah, life experience is one of the most valuable forms of experience, in my opinion, right, Mike? And I'm sure you share that same opinion. We believe you learn through doing here in Career Technical Education. Yeah, there's some theory, there's some book work, but for the most part, we're of the mindset that doing it is one of the best ways to learn.
Through these types of hands-on, real-life experiences, it's different than just sitting at the desk and reading from the book and answering the questions and taking the tests, because it puts it in the real world. It puts it in real life. And I think that's something that whether you're taking a comprehensive CTE course or you're in the ACE Center, that's what these programs are doing, getting students ready for real life.
So how have you seen career technical education change? You work in the schools now. I'm not sure how much you've got to see of our programs, but how have you seen career technical education change from when you were in it to now?
I think on several different facets. I've seen it change as far as how people view the trades. There's been a change. I think there was the champion, the gentleman Mike Rowe from the Dirty Jobs kind of thing.
He's been on the front lines for a long time.
Yeah, and I think that kind of thing has changed the perspective that a lot of people had back in the day, that, you know, if you didn't have the academics, you didn't go to college, you had to become a plumber or whatever. But I think people are realizing that it's just a different skill set. Where I work at, we have every trade just about. We have welders, we have plumbers, we have electricians. I don't want to leave anybody out, but we've got everybody. And to work with these people on a daily basis and see how they troubleshoot and how smart they are coming up with ways to fix, repair, and make adjustments. And it's really awesome to see what it takes to be able to do the job in those types of fields. So
critical thinking is one of the things that some people feel like aren't involved in those trades. And I don't see how that could possibly be a thing.
I hear from a lot of people, they say that that's only taught in college. And I think that's wrong. Even in middle school, high school, and even elementary school, you're learning these things as you go.
Yeah.
And especially when you get to the world of career and technical education, is you're taught critical thinking. You talked about how the tradespeople can be just as smart. They are. You know, how many times is an auto mechanic, when he goes to fix a car, when he goes, I sure would like to talk to the engineer before he designed this, when he goes to work on, you know, somebody stuck a battery up under the headlight bucket. My car that I just discovered, my battery for my Mini Cooper Countryman is in the cowl. And if anybody knows where the cowl is, it's under the windshield. And when I talk to students, Rashawn and I know, you know, we both have done this with talking to students about trying to convince them that these are really good options for them to try and take. And so when we're talking to them about, you know, you should sign up for, oh, I want to be an engineer. Well, I want to be a mechanical engineer. I want to design cars. I want to do that. Well, hey, wouldn't you like to learn a little bit about how to repair them before you start designing something, so that you know because that's involved in it, that maybe you don't necessarily learn when you go to college. And a lot of students take that to heart. And then we've got our student this year who we've mentioned many, many times, and you've seen her on the website, Sky, who she is working in the carpentry class, working out at our Regency project. She wants to be an architect. She's planning on, when she finishes high school, to go to college. She's already, matter of fact, I think she's already been accepted. And when she got interviewed on TV, and they said, why are you taking this? She goes, why wouldn't I want to learn how to do this before I go to become an architect?
It'll help her become a better architect.
Exactly.
It's like learning the bones of it. Yeah. It's like learning how to fix a camera before you use a camera.
Yeah.
So you better understand how the shutter works and how the sensor works and what the difference is between different cameras with a crop sensor or maybe a full frame sensor.
No.
Look, let me nerd out a little bit. How'd you end up in your current role? Let's talk about your path from photography into what you are doing here today.
Well, it kind of going back to when the transition went from film to digital. We began down that path of learning Photoshop and all of that stuff, and it wasn't a very long period of time before we found out that we could take the image files, and thanks to the internet, we could send them overseas, and there were people that were much more skilled than us, and they could turn them around in 5 seconds and zip them back to us, and we'd print them and we'd be done, and all of a sudden we were kind of out of a job. So I started seeing the writing on the wall as far as where my career path was in photography. And I was at the point in my life where I had family and all of that, started having to think about what's my next step. And my brother, who was a current employee of Henrico Schools, he was a plumber. And he said, look, you should try, just give it a shot. He goes, it's a really good group to work for. Just get your foot in the door. And there's lots of different areas that you can have opportunity to progress in. And I did just that. I got an entry-level position working in a landscape crew. And we did everything from fences, putting up fences, to putting up signs. We cut down trees, lots of things I'd never done before. And I quickly took to it, and I was like, wow, there is a lot of opportunity here. And so through the years, I had the opportunity in the group that I was in to be able to take certifications through the Department of Agriculture to get my certifications through VDACs to be able to have different levels of, I learned turf management, I learned ornamental management, I got all of my certifications in that. And when I was done with those, I said, well, what next? And I said, well, then I started doing some pest control stuff that it fell under the same umbrella. And the county gave me the opportunity to study and to go take these tests and get these certifications. And so after about 4 or 5 years, I had all these certifications in a broad range of categories. So when jobs opened up, I was like, I'll try this and I'll try that. And I kind of moved around. So I went from a landscape team into pest control. And then I went over into some maintenance stuff. And when the job came open for where I was at now, it was actually my former boss who came to me, and he's like, I see that you do all of these different things. I think you might would like to try this and go into maintenance. And so once I did that, it's just all been a great adventure from there,
because hey, here you
it's 72 schools every day with different problems and different things that are going on that we have to manage in all the different fields. It's like, I always say it's like spinning plates. You see, in the old school, they showed those guys that used to spin all the plates,
yeah,
keep all of them spinning at the same time. That's kind of what I do every single day, and it's exciting and fun.
Yeah, so go a little bit more in depth on what you do every single day. Like, what does it mean? We hear the title. What does it mean to be in your role?
It's a lot of different things, lots of different hats. But my job is, I have, and I say I, but we have 72 schools that we have to maintain. And we have maintenance supervisors that are stationed at pretty much all of the schools. I won't go into the details of how they work, but basically we have maintenance at every school. And it's my job to make sure that those guys are, they have everything that they need. And if they don't have what they need, then I get a vendor to come in and help. If it is something that's beyond their scope, then we bring in our tradesmen and they come out and will take care of larger projects that we have. But it's also my job to make sure that everything is being done at all of the schools, everything from generators to elevators to pencil sharpeners, to you name it. I mean, the range is big. We also oversee all of the grounds. So when you step foot on any Henrico school property, from the sidewalk to the doorstep, all the grass, all the shrubs, all the trees, we have to maintain those as well. That's all under our charge. So our guys are inside, they're outside, they're doing the playgrounds. I have a playground group. I have a group that does nothing but repair our equipment. We've got over 100 zero-turn mowers that we are running every day during the summer. They require maintenance, they require repairs. I have a repair shop that we manage. We have custodial equipment. I've got a shop that have a young lady in there who is our mechanic that does nothing but custodial equipment, like the big scrubbers you ride on, like the big Zambonis, yeah, and stuff. Yeah. She maintains those. Every day we've got something going on.
It sounds like you need a wide variety of different people skilled in different things. And I think you dealing with all those different pieces, you can kind of speak towards how important having these people to do this type of work, and how important, how hard they have to work, and how smart they have to be to do this type of work. So just speak to the importance of what it is that you guys do every single day to make sure that schools run properly.
And I think that's one of the keys, is I try not to say I. It is we, and it is our team, and it takes a team effort. Everything that it keeps to keep the schools going every day is, you have to think about every aspect of it. The lights have to come on. The floors have to be clean. The air condition or the heat has to run. The doors have to open and close. Everyone has a mechanism on it, whether it's the lock, the closer, the hinge, the frame. Every single aspect, whenever we go out to another school or something, my children are, or my, I've got one left in high school. Whenever we go to a function at another school, my wife goes, stop looking up. I'm always looking at the lights. And, you know, it's one of those
always
things.
Always working. I get it.
Yeah. It's just, but it's just an observation thing. But there is, I mean, you know, in this building alone, you were saying, you know, hey, it's hot in here. If you think about just the comfort and the quality of being inside of a building, how hard it is to satisfy everyone.
Yeah.
It's a difficult task. So
people have different definitions of being hot and cold. That's one thing that we know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it does. It takes an enormous amount of skilled tradesmen. And to just kind of give you a little insight into that, let's just pick an electrician that we would have in that discipline. If you think about, we have schools that were built, you know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. We have some that were built last year and put into service. So being able to go in and work on a component from that range takes a huge amount of knowledge. It takes an enormous amount.
And I'm sure some of the parts aren't even being made anymore for some of these things.
And that's where it gets into, you know, when we talk about the skilled tradesmen and their troubleshooting and problem solving, you know, it's impressive to watch these guys work and see the solutions that they come up with.
I think that, you know, you mentioned about how you worked some time with the plumbers.
Mm-hmm.
And plus you've got plumbers, you know, that you're part of your team now. I just want to give a shout out to the plumbing crew that's been working out at Regency.
Yes. Yes.
They've been working with the students, and they've just done a phenomenal job. And one of the things that a lot of people don't realize, and you're talking to about the importance of it, and I like to talk to about how critically important it is out there in the entire world, plumbers and other tradespeople, is that when somebody says, you know, oh, well, those are types of dead end jobs, and there's no growth, and there's no joy or meaning to the job. I think that's not true. And it's also when they say you're not intelligent when you do that, because one of the things that I got to see in watching and spending some time taking photos of the students working with these plumbers is having those guys show some of the students going, hey, you know, how are you on your math? Because we got to figure out how much we got to cut out. You know, we've got this much space and how big a piece of pipe we're going to put in there. And they're up there drawing on a piece of wood. And he goes, and he's showing in the student, and he goes, how are you? And he goes, we're working on with fractions now. And it's just, it was amazing.
You really get to see the math and science put into practice.
This is something that the students don't realize when they think, oh, I'm just going to go and I'm going to be in the trades and I don't need to worry about this stuff. No. It's that all comes back around to where a lot of the students who like to say, when am I going to use this? Why am I taking math? Why am I learning these things? Why am I taking English? You know, well, you need to communicate. You need to be able to figure things out, you know, math-wise. It was showing those students on a regular basis that, yeah, this is important that I was learning this, and I need to keep up with it.
Yep.
You know, and that all these jobs are important. One of the things that I've repeatedly say is that these are careers that keep civilization going. And whether it's trying to keep the school, you know, the 50-year-old or older school building up, or the one that just got put up last year, it is critically important that these things are still operating and that everything is working. And to have the new people coming in to replace the retirees and the people that are aging out, and we don't have the numbers. We don't have enough people coming in to replace these. And so it's critically important that kids get interested in this and that and they move towards these fields.
It's very important for kids to see how important these trades are, not only kids, but parents as well. So have you got a chance to go out to Regency at all? You got a chance to visit?
I have not.
Okay.
I've been out there right at the very beginning when you guys were kind of viewing the space, but I haven't tried to stay away because I know how busy everyone is. So.
Yeah, I 100% get it. But, you know, we have students working out there. And then before that, we had students that working it on the house building project as well. So just speak about how you think experiences like that will translate to the workforce as they leave high school and begin the challenge of adulting and maybe even be hired by someone like you.
I think there's many different parts of that are beneficial. Again, that real world experience of working with someone, I think, as we all know, sometimes the hardest part of working on a team is understanding that the things that are bothering you about the other people you're working with, you've got the same kind of things that are bothering them, and it takes a little while to figure out how to work as a team and learn each other's strengths and understand in the real world what you can get done. And then when you get to that first level of being able to step back and look and go, And when you step away and see what you've done and what you've accomplished, and you look at that person that you've kind of struggled with, or it was hard to get along with at the beginning, and then you get that bond of, hey, you knuckle bump and you're like, hey, we did that.
Yeah,
you
know? We came together.
Tomorrow we're going to. And then so that's where I think that the benefits come, is that it is a real world experience. When you say the house building project, you know, I think that is something that is phenomenal that you guys have developed, because, you know, my son participated in a program through the Youth Conservation Corps a couple years ago when he was in high school, and he went away and they built tent pads and split rail fences for the state parks and stuff like that. And he's 4 or 5 years removed now, but he still will go. When we go to Twin Lakes, I'm going to look. We're going to go by there and look at that, because you built something with your hands, with your sweat, with your teamwork, and it's still there to this day. So by you guys in employing that program to where you're building a house, you know, hey, I ran the wiring for that, or I poured built the steps on that. I think that's something that is so long lasting, and it goes far beyond just teaching the skills of how to build it. Those things are just so much more than you can put a.
It's hard to put in the words.
Yeah.
These are priceless moments, right?
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about changing the perception of Korean technical education. What do you think can be done to shine a more positive light? You certainly said some positive things about Korean technical education and also working with your hands. But what can we do better, I guess, to better promote and get these opportunities out to students and parents?
Now, trying to say what can you do better, I don't know that part of it, because you guys are doing an outstanding job. I was visiting.
Oh, thanks.
Visited the rodeo out at the fairgrounds the week before, and I was just taken aback, because that was the first time I'd visited. And walking into that building and seeing all of the kids in there and all the different trades, I say kids, all of the young people that are getting ready to join our workforce, all of them working and showing off their skills like that, I think that is one of a crowning moment for you guys. That's something I think if we could expand that and get that word out. I was hopeful that we would see more of it on the news. You know, I know they had some news crews there, but I wish that is something that, you know, the news spends a lot of time on things that are not great. It would be nice if they did have a segment to really highlight these children, these young adults, and be able to promote it. But I think it's just a matter of getting the word out. I have a friend, his son has gone into air conditioning, and I was like, hey, the county's got a great program. We'd love to have him come over.
There you go. So with all the other private companies, they're fighting over the same students.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Why do you feel that Korean technical education courses are impactful? Talked about the importance of it, talked about getting the word out. I mean, you experienced the CTE course as well. So why do you think they're so impactful?
Well, I think because it's obviously there's a need for it. I mean, and that's the thing, you know, and it's sad that we do have a shortage of people that are wanting to take these career paths. I think it's like anything, when you don't have enough of something, the demand goes up, the price for it goes up. So hopefully we'll see the salaries in these areas and trades go up as well and make them more attractive. But I think it's something to where I think a lot of things in the world and life are cyclical, and we'll have a spike in one area and another. It seemed like about 20 years ago, everybody wanted to get into computer games and computers and all of that stuff. And now all of those companies are starting to lay off.
And
now we're like, we don't have very many tradesmen. So I think I'm hopeful that we'll see a natural balance occur.
Yeah, I'm hopeful of that as well, Mike. I mean, nothing showed us more than the essential workers needed during the heat of the pandemic. Those guys kept working, and they had to keep civilization going. So I think that is a huge part. And
if we learned anything about the pandemic, it really highlighted did. Essential workers.
It really did highlight essential workers. What are some of the needs of the county as far as like positions are concerned?
I've got like 7 open right now if you're interested.
Well, every time we interview somebody, Clark was trying to hire us. Interviewed them.
So what positions are, I guess, most in demand on the county side, if you can name a few?
All the skilled trades, plumbers, electricians. And one of the things that I'll share with you, that this is a great topic. You know, we recently had 2 of our electricians leave. And they went on to a different discipline within the county. They came over to my team. They came over to be a maintenance supervisor at high schools. We had one for Short Pump Middle School and one at Glen Allen High School. Glen Allen High School is, if you've ever been in there, it's a flagship. It's an enormous building that has a lot of property. What's really interesting is we have these people who started their career as electricians, and they worked in the electrical field for many years, and they excelled at it. But they found very quickly, and what we have found, is that that talent pool to be a sort of almost like a jack of all trades, to manage a facility and understand and work on everything in the building, these people that have a trade and a skilled background are the best candidates, because it all transfers. If you're a plumber and you understand how the ventilation works and how the fall rate is on a run of pipe, if you know how to measure and cut and glue and the process of why you clean the pipe and all of this stuff, all of these things all of a sudden start to transfer into other things. A mechanic who works on a car can work on a washing machine. You know, I mean, those things transfer very, very well. So if anyone once is listening who's on the fence about going into a trade, you know, don't think that you're pigeonholed. If I become a plumber, I have to be a plumber my whole life. Plumbing can also go into HVAC. It can also go into irrigation. It can also go into a lot of different things. Electricians can go into alarm systems and security systems and elevator controls. I mean, there's just so many different things to where I think people see plumbing, electrical, HVAC, those things, and they think, well, that's the old school plumber. He's under the sink kind of thing. And that's not where it is anymore. I mean, those jobs are still there, but I think that's just kind of like the entry level. Once you get further in your career, you can really expand.
You can really branch out. You can even specialize, and your skills are 100% in demand. And let's talk about some of the pros associated with being in this industry. What are some of the pros that maybe students can look forward to as being a part of the construction industry?
One of the biggest pros that I see is that most of these tradesmen that work here during the day are so in demand in the afternoons and on the weekends. You know, if anyone has lived through a 90-degree day in the summer in Richmond and the humidity is at 80%, and you're sitting in your house, an air conditioning mechanic is a very valued friend if it is your friend. You know, hey, can you stop by and look at my house? Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. But also going back to, you just have so many different opportunities. If you learn a trade, if you, you become a certified, or you learn your trade, it just transfers into so many different areas in your life that you become self-sufficient in, that you don't need someone to come change your tire because you understand.
Or your oil.
Yeah, and it does. It becomes super valuable.
What are some of the benefits, I guess, of working in Henrico County? If you were able to snag a job here in Henrico County, why should they consider maybe working here at home where they grew up in Henrico, VA?
I would say in the discipline that I'm in and the arena that I'm in, the biggest thing is the day-to-day teamwork, the day-to-day working with others. You know, I closed a meeting that I had a few weeks ago, and I asked kind of the airing of the grievances, tell me what's going on, what's your biggest problems, and of course anybody, and you got a group of 30 guys, there's plenty of talk there. And it was all kind of focused on the negative. And I said, well, you know, let's think about some of the positives of what you have going on in your day. And I asked the guys, I said, I want you to think about, you know, since the time you punched in this morning until right now, just from 6 a.m. until 8:00, how many times have you smiled today? Have you laughed with a coworker, you know? And I think that's part of why we come to work. It's not to play and have fun, but it's because it is enjoyable. We're doing something that we like. We're with people that we like. We're around students that we love to help, and teachers that just love us when we can bend over backwards to go the extra mile, to do something to help them get their classroom in order, to get the lights on, to get the air working, or just help them move a box, you know, things like that. So just the enjoyment that you get when you come to work, that you're enjoying your day.
Yep. And let's focus on a little bit of the parents here. Sometimes we got to win the parents over first before the student even considers taking the class. So what should parents know about their student maybe being interested in a trade, or who's possibly on the fence about letting their student take a career and technical education program because they're worried about how much success? I mean, you alluded to all the success that can be had, but what can we talk to parents about that kind of alleviate some of that fear that their student can't be successful if they are an HVAC technician, or they end up working at Toyota being an auto mechanic? So how can we help alleviate some of that stress associated with the fears that I think all parents have, no matter what field you're going in? Is my student going to be successful?
Yeah, I think a lot of what I've already said, that, you know, there's so many opportunities out there. If you join a trade, you know, every parent has to think about their own child and take a realistic view of what it is they want to do.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're asking your child has an interest in something, I think it's where you put your foot behind them and push them forward. You know, you don't hold them back.
Very true.
So if their desire is to go to college and be an artist or, you know, and go into advertising, then yeah. But if they've got that interest and they've got a desire to join the trades, you know, go for it. You've got to push forward and give them the opportunity. And again, I think a lot of the times, if we all look back at our careers, none of us are where we started. But you got to where you were because you were interested in, as a matter of fact, the young man that I was telling you, my friend's son, he started out in plumbing. And he was going to work every day, riding in the plumbing van and everything. And he kept seeing the HVAC guys. And he went, yeah, that looks kind of cool. And now he's going to school and he's going to, just because they're going in one direction into trades, it can change and go into, you know, other aspects.
Man, Jeff is just saying everything we want to hear right now.
Yeah, exactly. So if somebody were to talk to you and they said, you know, oh, well, CTE is, and we've heard this, so I'm not repeating, making something up.
We're not dropping names, though.
No, not dropping names. That CTE or career and technical education is less education for a student. What would you say to somebody who would drop that on you?
I don't think I can say it on the...
That's okay. I'll just reverse it, you know.
No, I'm kidding. No. I'd say they're wrong. I mean, there's just no way around it. If someone has the openness to listen to someone give you some feedback on it, there's just no denying the opportunities that are there. And the amount of, like I said, education that you can, even if you, once you get into it, like with me, once I got my foot in the door and there's like, well, you can take this class and you can get that certification and you can get this. There's the amount of education you can get, you know, in this day and age now, you know, we're talking about the complexity of air conditioning systems. The air conditioning systems now, once you become an air conditioning mechanic and you learn how to work on the equipment, the computerization and the automation of air conditioning systems now, you can go into that next level and you're into building automation now and controls, yeah, and things,
true,
like that.
Or maintaining the automation.
Yeah. And so someone who thinks that is really, we just need to kind of tell them to open their mind a little bit more.
It seems like those skills just can lend themselves to other skills. And that's the important thing we need to realize about career technical education. Jeff, so speaking of skills, and let you go after this question, what are some of the most important skills that you think students can come out of high school with to be successful in your industry?
The skills, I think, is something that you can learn. I think the most important thing that they have is to have the want to go into something that sparks their interest, that is something that you have a desire, whether it's plumbing or HVAC or welding, which is, you know, fabricating is something that's really interesting. But I don't know really how to answer that question in that sense. It's just got to be there. It's got to be something that there's a drive and a want. It's the skills.
The skills kind of come second.
Yeah. The only skills that I think that are required are that you want to learn, that you want to continue to learn, that you want to continue to expand your horizons. Not really crazy about the answer on that one, because I really didn't. That was a tough one to ask what kind of skill they need coming out, because you guys are preparing them with the skill that, yeah, they need to get their foot in the door to the first company they work for. The thing they need the most, I think, is that work ethic and wanting to do a good job. You know, I have so many people that I have that we hire on, and it's usually doesn't take more than a week or two to where you go, this kid's got it. Or this, I say kid, I'm so old. This young man,
you're fine,
has the work ethic, and it's like, this is a winner.
Yeah.
You know, we got to hold on to him.
No, I still think that was a solid answer, though, because, yeah, we hear it all the time, right, Mike?
Yeah, because
it's not about the skills.
Right. It fits right along with, yeah, okay, we're providing them with a certain skill set and providing them an avenue to get start their certification paths.
Yeah, we give them all that.
But we're also teaching them the soft skills. You know, the being to work on time, staying off your phone. You know, when I say being to work on time, not if you start at 8, you don't get there at 8. You know, kind of thing. The work ethic, you know, being quality with and doing your work well. And all those things that we're – that's something else that we're doing that a lot of people don't realize either is that we really, really work on – we're calling them the workplace readiness skills. Yep. And trying to get all of our students, I don't care whether they're in the comprehensive CTE courses or the ACE Center, that is definitely something that we very much focus on, getting students ready for their having their resumes and their job interview skills and all those things they need to get out there and be ready to start working.
In addition to
get their job and start working.
In addition to all the other stuff that we teach the students. So, Jeff, thank you so much for being on. Anything you want to leave us with, or you left it all on the table, left it all on the field?
Well, I did have one thing, and I just wanted to walk back. You know, we were talking about the different trades, and when you said the kids were kind of their eyes opened up when the plumbers were going, this is why you had to learn math.
Yeah.
You know, it instantly made me think of our carpentry shop. That was something that I didn't touch on in our discipline. I know you guys have a carpentry program. I know Mr. Coker and the job that they do building the houses and stuff. But I wish that some of those kids had the ability to see what our carpentry shop creates. And a lot of people don't understand what our carpentry shop does and some of the things that they do, like this table, not this one, but they make the tables. They build furniture that is custom made to fit children with special needs. And they follow those children throughout sometimes, so as they grow.
Yeah.
And the furniture, I walk back through their shop a lot of times to cut through, and I'm just blown away with what they build back there with their math, with their hands, with the tools. And I wish others could showcase that. So I was thinking about it. I kept mentioning plumbers and welders and all that kind of stuff. Our carpentry
shop out to the carpenters.
Is phenomenal.
We have some of their furniture here that they've built for us.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
And you talk about people that take pride in their work. They say craftsmanship and things like that, but you can see it. You can see that they take pride in their work, and you're saying, what skills do you need moving forward? That's not a skill. That's something that's like the work ethic. You know, you're people that take pride in what they do. My son has recently, he's in his finishing his second year through Civeca with Willie Klein's group in electrical. And it was funny because his last 2 years of high school, he never talked to me, you know, but now he knows I'm in the industry. He sends me pictures of panels that he's wired up, and he's proud of how neat they are. And it makes me very proud because it makes me very happy for him that he's taking pride in his work and his craftsmanship. So I think that's what I would leave it with, that, you know, that's one of the big keys there.
That's one way to leave off on the show there. Yeah. One heck of a speech. And thank you so much for joining us here in the CTE conference room, Jeff. Before I let you guys go, of course, I got to remind you, check us out on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn, all at the handle HenricoCTE. HenricoCTE.com for information on stuff like our summer building trades program, where you'll have an opportunity to try out some of the trades for a summer from June 12th to July 20th. Electricity, masonry, cabling, heating and air, and cabling and networking, all at your disposal from 7:30 a.m.
Heating, air, and plumbing.
Heating, air, and plumbing.
And plumbing.
And plumbing, yep. 7:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., and no classes on June 19th or July 4th, and that mystery date that we have yet to list.
Yes. So we don't know what it
stay
is.
Stay tuned to the website. Mike, tell them where else they can find the podcast.
You can find the podcast at all of your major podcast apps and most of your minor ones. We've got over 100 episodes, lots of binging opportunities there when you're driving or what. So look us up on your favorite app, like and subscribe. Don't miss an episode. We drop 2 a month.
Driving, cleaning, working in the shop, working on your car.
Yep.
Just turn us on the radio or whatever.
Put in your headphones and listen.
Ask Siri. Okay. All right, guys, that's it for us. For Jeff, for Mike, I'm Rashawn. This has been Henrico CT. Now, until next time, so long, everyone.